Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
Powered by you.
Listener supported.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Well, hello. Again, thank you. It's always an amazing thing, the generosity of people. And as I say, I have so much fun doing this, and I'm so grateful to you for letting me do it. And we really do need that. We do need the cash. So be as generous as you can be. And of course, the that line is 877-291-0123 if you want to help us out. 877-291-0123, or just go to the website and donate online. But that said, let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Well, that said, let us go now, as we do every day, to the big book on the coffee table. You know, when I was a lad, and the Vatican Council happened, I think I was about 13 when it opened. Was that 1963 the council opened? I think so. I was 13. And we were all so excited because we were going back to the original days of the church. There was this feeling that we were returning to the origins of the faith. And it was going to be like the early church. And then the charismatic renewal came along, and oh, that was just like the early church. And I maintain it was, because, boy, it had controversies and stuff like that. So the background for today's first reading is, well, not that pleasant, and I'm going to talk about it. But first, let's just quickly go to the gospel. It's a very short gospel. As the Father loves me, so also I love you. This is John, the 15th chapter. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. To love someone is not what we feel, it's what we do. How do you know you love the Lord? You keep his commandments. This we're such romantic people in the United States. We really think that love is a feeling, and love is not a feeling. It may be accompanied by feelings, but it's what you do, and it's an act of the will. Love is not something, oh, I can't help it, I'm in love. No, you are in something else. You're not in love. That feeling of being in love, well, you eat enough chocolate, you can get the same feeling. Seriously, there is a chemical in chocolate which produces these endorphins similar to that of feeling in love. This is science, I guess. I read it somewhere. It must be true. But moving along, no, to love is to do. Yes, the voice in my head said, the internet? Yes, of course, they never let you put anything on the internet that isn't true, right? So moving along, I'm being sarcastic. Love is what you do. If you love him, keep his commandments. Well, all right, let's go to the first reading. After much debate had taken place, Peter got up and said to the apostles and the presbyters, there's that word again, presbyter. It means the elders. And I am a presbyter. I'm ordained to the sacrificehood of Christ in the order of elder. But I'm not going to beat on that horse again today. I think it's important to understand that. And I've said, we don't have a word in English, a proper word for hieraios, which refers to someone who offers sacrifice. I am a presbyter who offers sacrifice. I have a hieratic function, but we don't have the word in English. So, but enough of that. You've heard me say that ad nauseum. But, my brothers, you're well aware from the early days God made his choice among you through my mouth. Isn't that interesting? Peter is claiming, well, I would say, something close to papal authority here. The Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God knows the heart. God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them the Holy Spirit. All right. Why, then, are we now putting God to the test? Paul and Barnabas have come back, and they've said that God is doing among the non-Jews, the Gentiles, exactly what he did among them at the beginning. And why are you now putting God to the test by placing on the shoulders of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? This is very interesting. Everyone assumes that the sacrifices of the law forgave sin. They did not. God forgives sins, but the sacrifice, the purpose of temple sacrifices was not to forgive sin. It was to reconcile God with Israel, or an Israelite, when he had inadvertently, involuntarily broken one of the ritual laws. A sin such as adultery or murder or that sort of thing, that was not the provenance, the precinct of the sacrifice of the law. You read about them in Leviticus, and it's clear that they are designed to reconcile man to God after an involuntary breaking of the law. The sin of theft, there was a sacrifice to be offered after you had made restitution, but the sin was not forgiven by the sacrifice. The uncleanness was washed away by the sacrifice. Our concept of forgiveness in the New Testament is radically different than forgiveness in the Old Testament. It is a complete forgiveness. And I don't really have time to go into that today, but it's different. So Peter's saying that the old law didn't work. We know it. It didn't do what Christ did on the cross. It was an anticipation of what Christ did, but Christ's forgiveness on the cross was complete. When Jesus said, "Go your way, your sins are forgiven," this shocked people. Who can forgive sins but God? And that would include the ritual law. Who can forgive sins but God? We don't think of it that way. We so apply our current way of doing things to the Old Testament. And I think it's very important for us to understand that the Old Testament, we believe as Christians, was an anticipation of this new covenant. All right. So, on the contrary, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they. Paul and Barnabas described the signs and wonders that they worked. After they'd fallen silent, James responded, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described how God first concerned himself with acquiring from the Gentiles a people for his name." He goes on to say, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles and turn to God." Well, this is interesting, as Peter has said, "Through my mouth, God made his choice among you." But then James says, "It is my judgment, therefore." We need to talk about that. But right now, we're going to go listen to Father Rocky, and we'll discuss this when we come back, because I think it's very important that you see the backdrop against which the New Testament was written. At least what I think was the backdrop. But let's go hear from Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, head of Relevant Radio. Evangelizing on the radio is the most effective and least expensive way to spread the Word of God. Only pennies per hour per person. You can help us keep our costs down by becoming a member of our St. Joseph Recurring Giving Society. You give a set gift of $25 or more every month to Relevant Radio, and when we know we can count on your gift, we can reduce the amount of mail we send out. It helps us to budget better on our end, and of course, the same goes for you on your end. Please consider becoming a member of our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today. You can join for as little as $25 a month, and this hour, we have matching funds. It only takes a minute to give when you give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. But you can also give by calling us at 877-291-0123. Your gift this hour will be doubled, and it's tax deductible.
Thank you, Father. The Relevant Radio Give Hope Pledge Drive rolls on. Neil Robbins along with Brooke Taylor taking just a moment out of the Father Simon Says program to talk Pledge Drive. We have a 100% dollar-for-dollar match this hour. Yes, the green battery-operated LED light is lit. It is a partnership challenge hour, and we need your help because we're only at 53% of our need of $3 million. 877-291-0123. Please give online at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. Brooke, we're $5,000 away from hitting $1.6 million. That's our next mini goal.
Wow.
So if we had 50 $100 gifts right now, we would get to that $1.6 million mark. Can you help us with $100 going to your favorite radio station, Relevant Radio? Get a hold of us, relevantradio.com, the app, or 877-291-0123.
Okay, 50 $100 gifts. I think we can do it because we really are in that turbo drive time, kind of the home stretch, because 24 hours from now, it will be the final hours as we end our goal of $3 million, our spring pledge drive, Give Hope's the theme, at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And we are listener supported. And if you heard Father Rocky at all during the pledge drive, it's exciting to hear how your support directly makes an impact on how the network continues to grow, how souls are transformed. Over 200 stations around the globe via the app, our country, and new stations, Seattle, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Miami, and a few big thank yous already from people this hour as we get to that goal. Neil, Kathleen in Las Vegas just donated as a first-time giver an online gift, $365. We have Charlene in San Diego, California. Again, 1-877-291-0123. And it's a matching hour, so dollar for dollar, your gift is doubled. Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. Quick, yeah. Secure, and easy.
And we were talking about the $100 gifts coming in. Pauline, Soledad, California, with $100 to the cause. Becoming $200, of course, with the matching funds. And
yes.
Fran in Brookfield, Illinois, helping out with $100. Can you help out with $100 right now to help Relevant Radio in the pledge drive? We're trying to wipe out $5,000 quickly to hit that $1.6 million mark. Help us at relevantradio.com, the app, or 877-291-0123. A couple of other new markets that we are in. Blessed to be in Honolulu and Detroit and Tucson and Toledo. We've been around for about 22 years, but brand new in those markets. Please do help Relevant Radio pay the operating expenses and help us continue to grow across the country. RelevantRadio.com, the app, or 877-291-0123.
Wow. Music from my hippy-dippy past. So, well, let's get back to what I was ranting and or raving about. Good grief. That computer just turned off. Well, we'll turn it on later. We read in Hebrews, back to a theme that I was just alluding to. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the fourth verse. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And then we read Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the first verse. The law is only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. It can never, by the same sacrifices offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. You look at Leviticus, and that's exactly what it's saying. In Leviticus, the fourth chapter, the 13th verse. It's book of Leviticus. I'm sure you read that every day. Actually, Leviticus was the first book that a little Jewish boy memorized at the time of Christ. That's where they started. If the whole congregation of Israel strays unintentionally and the matter escapes the notice of the assembly, so that they violate any of the Lord's commandments and incur guilt by doing what is forbidden. Or, let's see, another one. This is a good one. This is the very first chapter, the very first verse of the fourth chapter of Leviticus. And the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to do as follows with the one who sins unintentionally against any of the Lord's commandments and does what is forbidden to them. this idea of I chose the wrong. Now, God forgave, but that's not what the sacrifices of the law were for, if you read Leviticus. So, well, back to the text of the day. Now, you got Peter and you got James. Very interesting. The reason I believe that much of the New Testament was written was because of the problem of authority. We see a group in the early church called the Despozine, the ones who are with the Master. In other words, the family of Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 5th verse, "Have we no right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas?" In other words, there was an identifiable group in the early church who claimed relationship, physical relationship with Jesus. No one ever claimed to be Jesus' son or wife or any of that sort of thing, or grandson, but to be a relative of Jesus, they claimed. And apparently they went around saying, "Well, we're here now, what's for dinner?" I exaggerate a bit. But there was this problem. Where did authority come from in the early church? The James we're speaking about is James, the brother of the Lord in today's readings, this close relative of Jesus, maybe a cousin, maybe some other relationship, not a child of Mary, but a member of the family of Jesus. And people, I think, now again, you got the salt shaker ready, take it with a grain of salt. People just assumed that the head of the church would be this James, who was a respected Pharisee. He was a close relative of Jesus. It said he was so pious and spent so much time in prayer that his knees looked like those of a camel. This was a godly man. He's, of course, in charge. And we read in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 2nd chapter, the 12th verse, "When Cephas came to Antioch, however, I opposed him to his face because he stood to be condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself for fear of those in the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray." Oh, so James was fighting with Peter. No, James, if anybody established the Paul was fighting with Peter. No, if anybody established the Catholic Church after Jesus, it was Paul, because he's saying to Peter, when he uses the word Kephas, which is Simon Bar-Jonah's title, Peter's title, he's saying, when are you going to step into the authority that Christ called you to? He didn't make James the leader of the church. He made you the leader of the church. And that's what we see going on in the reading today, that people are coming from James, who was a devout Pharisee, and Peter says, nope, God spoke through me. He made his choice through me, and then James acquiesces. He says, okay, it's my judgment, therefore, that we ought to stop troubling the Gentiles. He ends up agreeing with Peter. People are not going to come with any authority from James and say, this is what you got to do. To me, this is interesting, because the early church had its issues, its struggles, its divisions, and its walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. You see, when we thought with the Vatican Council everything was going to go back to the early church wasn't all that. It was working things out. Now, we go on, tell them by letter to avoid pollution from idols, unlawful marriage, the meat of strangled animals. What's pollution from idols? Eating in the temples. When people mostly didn't eat a lot of meat, when they served meat, it was because there had been a sacrifice offered to a god. And what they're saying is, James is saying, that, well, we ought to tell them to stop troubling the Gentiles or turn to God. Don't eat the food sacrificed to idols. Don't indulge in unlawful marriage. That is, in Egypt, I believe, even among the common people, brother-sister marriage happened, and aunt-uncle marriage happened in the Roman Empire, that sort of thing. Don't do that. The meat of strangled animals and blood. The kosher way to kill an animal is to chop the head off, make sure the blood is all drained. And they didn't eat blood. Moses had been preached. What James is saying, well, we have to stick by these minimal laws, lest there be confusion. But Paul goes on to say, you know, if you're not going to cause scandal, don't worry about it. You can eat meat that's sacrificed to idols if you're not going to cause scandal. So this is not a rule applicable to all Christians for all time. It was in the circumstance of the Roman Empire, which 10% of the empire was Jewish, and everybody knew the law of Moses, and the Jews were funny. They didn't eat blood because of their reverence for God. They didn't. They thought of Christianity as no different from the religion of Israel, so they didn't want to confuse people. But if you like blood sausage, you can eat it, or czarnina if you're Polish. All right, now, what do we got coming up next, dear voice in my head? We're going to do some letters. Of course, my letter computer just turned off. I'll put on, okay. We got letters, and now we got to get glasses so I can read them. All right.
This I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Good grief. Okay, this is, let's see.
Oh, bother.
Oh, bother. All right. Father Simon, why are the priests blocking the truth about biblical revelations? A war was averted. Nostradamus was used by the church faithful as if gospel. I'm indicated that someone believes there's a child going to be... You know, why are the clergy blocking these revelations? I don't quite know what you're referring to, friend, but I shared with you that the revelation, the prophecy in the Christian sense, we read in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper, I've told you these things before they happen, that when they happen, you might believe, you might trust. The purpose of revelation for a Christian believer is not to predict the future. It is when these things happen that we say, oh yeah, this looks like what the Lord was talking about. He's in control. We do not divine the future. That's divination, and it's a very serious sin. I think that this is an important thing to understand, that our attitude toward prophecy is not the world's attitude. And I have lived a long enough life that I think it's 20 or 30 times people have prophesied the end, and so far we're all still here. So I'm not sure that I understood your letter, but we, the clergy, try to remind people that, you know, you can't predict the future. Even the revelations given to people like the children of Fatima, they don't predict the future in a direct way. They allude to it, and they say these things will happen if. All right, let's see here. Okay, this is some, oh dear, let me look at this one. Oh, it's kind of long. I think probably I need to answer that one. It's anonymous, and I think I need to keep that one anonymous. All right, let's see. Let me see. Is there
goodness gracious sakes alive.
In the few seconds, I am a medical student. Is it possible to become a nun while also being a practicing physician? It most certainly is. Depends which type of nun. You wouldn't be a cloistered nun, but yes, it is quite possible. The fact is, I can't remember her name. A wonderful Jewish lady who became a Catholic, and she was a noted gynecologist and continued her work, and just a wonderful woman. I think she's still with us, but amazing woman. Well, speaking of amazing things, we're going to the Center for Shilling for Shekels, and that's of course Jewish for Yiddish for begging for money.
And here we are, gladly and happily begging for Christ. Neil Robbins along with Brooke Taylor. Get a hold of us at relevantradio.com, the app, or at 877-291-0123. It's a partnership challenge hour. Every single dollar is going to be matched 100%. We've got a great group of people who, before the pledge drive, puts together a nice pool of money with the specific purpose of enticing you to help us out during our Relevant Radio pledge drives. So here we are asking for your help. We have a goal of $3 million, a need of $3 million by Friday night at 5 o'clock. Brooke, the good news is we crossed that $1.6 million mark, and we earlier this hour were asking for all kinds of $100 donations to help us get there, and everybody responded. I mean, my goodness, Mary from Phoenix, $100. Jean from Houston, a brand new donor with $100. Deborah in Albuquerque, another new donor, $100. Susan in Massapequa, in New York. Joseph, Alton, Illinois. Wayne in Rosenberg, Texas, with $100 donations. Thank you so much for your help. And whatever you can give right now, maybe you can't do $100. Maybe you can do $10 or $25 or $50. Get a hold of us on the website or 877-291-0123.
And as you mentioned, Neil, we are a little over halfway, 53% to our goal of $3 million. So we have some heavy lifting, but thankfully we have supernatural strength in you and the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, this partnership hour, that means everything you give is doubled. I mean, imagine if you're one of the blessed ones that could even give at the $5,000 level. That becomes $10,000. And remember, any amount that you give, all gifts you make to Relevant Radio are 100% tax deductible. And we're listener supported. So it's so important to come alongside and continue to grow this mission, again, to bring Christ to the world through the media, 1-877-291-0123, Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. Second gift for Carol coming in from Orland Park, Illinois. Also, Richard from Carneys Point, New Jersey. We have Rhode Island, Plymouth, Wisconsin, Naples, Florida, Rosanna, $100. God bless you and thank you. And again, it's all doubled because of this partnership challenge hour, 100% match.
100% match, partnership challenge hour. And the number is 877-291-0123. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the app. And we should also mention, if you do give online, you'll get that free special extra gift, the brand new MP3, Our Lady, Our Hope, The Four Marian Dogmas. That is by Monsignor James Shea, one of the most popular guests we have here on Relevant Radio.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Well, thank you again for giving so much hope. It's, you know, there's a lot of hope. I mean, you look at the news, and of course, the motto is if it bleeds, it leads. Good news is rarely reported. And there's lots and lots of good news. The gospel's good news. And so lots of reason to hope. And I'm joyful. I'm grateful to be part of a group that you empower to share good news. So God bless you. And thanks again so much for your generosity. Let us go to the word of the day. Oh, by the way, the phones are wide open at 888-914-9149-888-9149. That's to ask any question you might have about the Lord, the faith, the church, and the big book on the coffee table, the Bible. But let us now go to our word of the day. My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has described how God first concerned himself. That's fascinating. He doesn't call him Simon. He calls him Simeon. And, of course, he's referring to Simon Bar-Jonah. I maintain that Kepha, or Petrus, was his title. He was the rock, and they called him Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. Well, what is this Simeon? That whoever is writing down what James, the brother of the Lord, said, he's hearing it the way James would have said it, because the word was, the name Simon comes from, it's most appropriate for me because it's Shemaoni. It means hear my complaint. I think that's appropriate. So Shemaon, it was, there's a sh in it, which there was no sound sh in Greek or Latin, so it became an S. I don't know if that helps, but that's not the word of the day. I was fascinated. After this I shall return and rebuild the fallen hut of David. What is the fallen hut of David? So, of course, I looked it up in Greek. Where did I put it in Greek? I have it here in Greek. And it's the word that's used for hut is skene. S-K-E-N-E, skene. And its primary meaning is a tent. And remember that the Lord was in a tent in the wilderness. It can also mean a booth, as in the Feast of Booths. It means an abode, a dwelling, but it is related to the word for a covering. In other words, any kind of shelter that covered you and protected you from the elements, especially the hot Mideastern sun, this was a skene. And this is interesting because it very much correlates with the Hebrew word shechina, which is shin and all those other swell letters. Shechina, which means, you hear about the Shekinah glory of the Lord. Well, that's the covering glory of God. That this the cloud covered the tent of meeting. So this is an interesting, almost, I don't know if you'd say it's a pun, but it's a happy coincidence that the word for covering and the word for dwelling is ultimately the same in Greek and Hebrew. Shechina means the dwelling. The Mishkan is the place where the Lord dwells. And the Shechina is his act of dwelling. And skene is it's from the word to cover, but it means it came to mean a tent or an abode, a place where you were covered from the elements. So there's this thing going together. And I think it's significant in understanding the passage that the fallen hut of David is the temple. From its ruins I shall rebuild it. And this was before it was ruined, so that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord. So what James is conceding is that the purpose of the temple was, as Jesus said, not just to be some place for God to dwell among the Jewish people, but it was a house of prayer for all nations. And so James has given in to Peter on this, which I think is interesting. So, well, there you go. Let's see here. Let us know. I was a few more letters I want to take. Again, the phones are wide open at 888-914-9149. All right, let us go back to letters. Okay. All right.
$5,000 for a computer and it can't handle a simple assignment.
This is this computer handles things very well. It's just, I don't really know. Okay, this is from Randall. And he's saying the Stations of the Cross, which I was going to research, and I have researched it a little, but, you know, I had always heard the story that it was something the Crusaders brought back. Apparently not, that the Franciscans popularized it a little later than the Crusades. They were given the care of, and still have the care of, the holy shrines, and they popularized the devotion of the Stations of the Cross. Someone called in and said, I'd heard that the Blessed Mother invented the Stations of the Cross in her backyard in Ephesus when she lived with John. Well, in the Life and Revelations of Blessed Catherine Emmerich, one of the Church's more modern mystics and visionaries, were offered a glimpse of what the Blessed Mother's life was like after Jesus was taken up in bodily in heaven. I beheld Mary in her last years making the way of the cross. She was at the time advanced in years, though there was visible in her no other sign of age than an ardent desire for her transfiguration. She was remarkably grave. I never saw her laugh, and the older she grew, the fairer and more transparent became her countenance. She was thin, but I saw no wrinkle, no trace of decree. According to tradition, towards the end of the life of the Blessed Virgin, she moved from Jerusalem to Ephesus, no longer able to retrace the steps of her son's passion. That may be. You know, Anne Catherine Emmerich was a great mystic, and she had visions of the life of Christ. But remember what St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians. We prophesy in part, we know in part. Anne Catherine Emmerich was very holy, but she didn't get it perfect. Some of her revelations were truly amazing. But it still is. I know people get upset when I say this. It's a private revelation. There is no historical record of the Stations of the Cross being observed before the late Middle Ages, as far as I know, and I'll continue to research it. The Blessed Mother may have made a way of the cross in her yard in Ephesus so that she could continue to remember the suffering and death of her son. She may have done that, but there's no, as far as anyone can tell, there is no historical connection between our practice and that of the Blessed Mother. It may have been inspired by her, but not in a way that went from year to year to year. Stations of the Cross were a rather late devotion. There were 5 of them in certain times, and there were 20 of them in other times. We've kind of settled on 14, and that's as far as I can tell from what I've researched. Darn it. Lots of lines open. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. But we are going to go to, it's a miracle moment, right? Yeah, we'll be right back.
Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
You know how you have all these people that you just kind of grow up with in the church?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see a lot of them at church anymore, even the ones that are in town. And I almost want to reach out to all these people because they have children of their own now and just say, come back to church. Life is better when you do keep God in it.
So true.
So,
tell them about Relevant Radio, honestly.
My father's the one who turned me on to you, too.
God bless him.
So I have been listening the last couple of years. And,
shout out to Dad. Thank you, Dad, for helping Julie.
Yeah, shout out to Dad.
But you know what? You can pay it forward, Julie. And I'm saying this in absolute sincerity. Tell everybody you know. Tell all these, you know, wobbly families who maybe or maybe aren't getting to Mass, people who are drifting away, tell them about Relevant Radio. Get them to start listening. And it's truly amazing. Well, you saw what happened to you, right? It helped you, didn't it?
It sure did.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
I do like that miracle moment. How about we all pay it forward right now during this Relevant Radio Give Hope Pledge Drive, a 100% dollar-for-dollar match this hour. Not every hour is a match, but we've got a partnership challenge hour underway right now. Got some good news. The 53% that just was so stubborn on our computer screen, 54% to goal. While it was 53%, it just ticked up to 54. I've been flicking the computer screen, and it finally clicked up to 54%. So thank you for all of your help. Keep the donations coming in at 877-291-0123 or by giving online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And Brooke, we had great luck getting the $100 gifts earlier this hour. We've got a brand new donor in Greenwood, Indiana, Amy, and she just came in at $25. And I was thinking, you know, I bet there's thousands of Father Simon fans out there who have been listening to the great programming that Father Simon delivers every single day and maybe haven't taken the time to give yet. So how about coming in and joining Amy at that $25 amount? 877-291-0123. Can you do $25 for Relevant Radio to help us stay on the air? RelevantRadio.com or Brooke, the Relevant Radio app.
And again, remember, this is a partnership hour, so that means everything you give is doubled. Amy's gift of 25 becomes 50. We have just about 18 minutes left in this hour, and as you mentioned, we're at 54%, so we are in that zone where we need to really put on the turbo drive because the goal is $3 million by 5 o'clock on Friday, 1-877-291-0123, the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. And as we just heard in that miracle moment, we often see the world around us. We want to be able to do more, to help more. And that's the beauty of this mission. You are directly helping. And every time you decide to support Relevant Radio, whether that's a prayer or your presence, you here listening, or specifically like this week when we bring you a specific need to reach that goal, you are making a difference. And again, with stations over 200 now across the country and across the globe with the app, new stations popping up, and we're seeing new donors too. In fact, I just see Anthony in Marlton, New Jersey gave 1230 he's coming in at, which is doubled.
Thank
2460. And that's because it is a matching hour, 1-877-291-0123. Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com.
Yeah, make a donation right now in any amount. It is tax deductible. All donations are tax deductible. And we know that's not why you give, but hey, when it's tax time, that's kind of nice, isn't it? 877-291-0123. Give what you can on the app or at relevantradio.com.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't
Goodness.
It always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
That's just such true words. This is a day to reminisce about my hippy-dippy youth, apparently. Songs of my youth. You know, just a little bit more about this whole Stations of the Cross thing. Pope Clement VI, around 1350, named the Franciscans the guardians of the holy places in the Holy Land. They were working this deal out so they could go on pilgrimage. And travelers from the 11th to the 14th century did talk about a via sacra, in other words, a sacred way the pilgrims would follow. But the first mention that we really, really have is pretty clear. It doesn't come to us until about 1450. A pilgrim, English pilgrim, William Way, talked about it. So during the 15th and 16th centuries, the Franciscans began to build these pilgrim ways in Europe. So that's the historically verifiable history of the Stations of the Cross. And Catherine Emmerich, for instance, in the movie The Passion of the Christ, you see the Blessed Mother and St. Mary Magdalene soaking up the blood from the scourging. And that's just about the most Jewish detail in the movie, because you had to be buried with your blood for the Messiah to raise you. And so every drop of blood was important. Jews still practice that when there's a violent death. That said, that was from a vision of Anne Catherine Emmerich. So her visions were really something. So the Blessed Mother very well may have created a sort of way of the cross in Ephesus. I don't know. But what we're practicing today, it may be a reminiscence of what she did, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but there's not an historical connection to, as far as I can tell, to the first century of the Stations of the Cross. It was a post-Crusade phenomenon. All right, let's see here. Let us go to, again, the phones are very wide open, at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go to
telegram
phones?
For you, sir.
Yes.
He gets mad because he can't read.
Oh, I see.
Well, I can read. Okay. Not well. But Katie, what can I do for you?
Hi, Father. Hello? Feel like I'm technologically deficient here. I can't seem to get my phone to do what it's supposed to do.
Oh, that's all right. We're in the same boat.
I'm sorry. I went to Mass on Holy Thursday, and at the consecration, the priest gave the chalice to the altar boy to have wine, and he's about 8 or 9 years old, and I didn't know if there was an age limit or restriction for altar boys to receive the wine.
Well, now remember, we don't believe it's wine. We believe it's the precious blood. So,
right.
But, you know, but still, you know, it is common in many places for First Communion children to receive from the chalice as well. We wouldn't do it that way. As far as I know, there is no hard and fast rule. There certainly is no canon law. The Eastern churches routinely give infants both the Eucharist under the form of bread and wine, a little spoonful of, you know, the Eastern churches immerse the consecrated bread into the chalice, and then they spoon it into the mouth of the person to receive the Eucharist. And that's done for infants. In fact, is I believe, if I've got it right, the Eastern churches will do that until the age of reason, when a person should be ready to go to confession before they go to communion. But figuring that children have a baptismal innocence, they receive communion right away because they received communion as part of their baptism ceremony. They do it a little different than we do in the Western Church. So I don't think there's any hard and fast rule about it. If there is, again, I would like to know. Personally, I would ask parents, do you object to this or not? And you got to be careful given a chalice full of what tastes like wine, the precious blood, to a small kid, because, well, you know, I think it's a valid concern. It's funny, in my ministry, I never ran into that problem. Of course, we did run into the problem with street people, that they would want to come in at St. Thomas and they would just chug the whole chalice. And so we gave, if you wanted to receive under both forms, we did it by intinction, the priest intincting your host in the cup of the precious blood. So it's an interesting problem. So, Christina, I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to ask for help answering it. If anybody knows if there are guidelines published by the bishops, I would like to know. Well, thanks for calling in, Christina. That doesn't answer your question, but we'll keep the question going. How's that sound? Or Katie, rather. That's Katie. Sorry, Katie. See, I'm no good with technology either. I have not any idea what button I'm pushing. Thanks for calling in, Katie, and thanks for listening. God bless you. But let us now go to Christina from Phoenix, Arizona. Christina, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Father. Thank you so much for taking my call. Love your show. Love you.
Go on.
So my question is, I'm a convert to the faith, so it's been a lovely time discovering all these things that weren't known to me in my Protestant youth. And one of those things was discovering the Protovangelion of James, and it's not in our canon in our Catholic Bible.
No.
In the Greek Orthodox. And that's kind of where I have a question for you in terms, you were talking about the modern mystic and Catherine Emmerich, and talking with my mother-in-law, who's Catholic, and she said, no, Mary and Joseph were this, that, and the other. And I said, well, interesting, in the Protovangelion of James, it has some wonderful kind of historical, maybe church tradition ideas of our Blessed Mother's life. So my question is for you, why don't we Catholics talk about it? Why is there maybe some conflict with the modern mystic and maybe what's in that and Protovangelion of James? And then who was it that, was it Pope Leo the something that said it shouldn't be included? So, yeah, I'd love more insight on that.
Yeah, you know, it isn't. St. Jerome was the one who said it wasn't. It was later. It wasn't. It wasn't inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it was Pope Innocent the First in 405 who rejected it. And, you know, I don't know that it's considered scripture by the Orthodox Church. I'm not sure about that. But it was written not by one of the apostles. It was probably written about 110 AD. Thus, it has a lot of interesting, probably true material, but then some legends that had already started to develop. So it wasn't of apostolic origin, which is why we rejected it. And we used to talk about it a lot more. And then after the council, we tried to be more biblical, and we ended up being less biblical in a way. And so we're starting to talk about it a little more now. I hope that answers your question quickly, does it? Oh, at any rate, we got to go. Thanks for calling in, Christina. Okay, we're going to the call center. We'll see how we're doing. So thanks so much for your kindness.
We are moving the needle, Father Simon. Hi, it's Neil Robbins along with Brooke Taylor to take the last couple minutes of Father Simon Says to ask for your support for Father Simon Says and for Relevant Radio at relevantradio.com, on the app, or 877-291-0123. I was just punching up the calculator on my cell phone, Brooke, and we only need 50 people, and we will tie the record. Let's make it 51 gifts to break the record this hour during Father Simon Says. Whatever you can give, we need your help right now. $5, $50, $500. Maybe you can come in at one of those bigger amounts, $5,000 or $10,000. We need 51 gifts before the top of the hour, and we will break the record for this hour. 877-291-0123. Show your support for Father Simon and Relevant Radio at relevantradio.com or on the app.
That is big news. That's breaking news, Neil. We have 5 minutes left in this hour, essentially. And so for you're saying we've got maybe 50 or so gifts and we will break a record for this hour. And it's significant, too, because it's a partnership hour. So that means everything you give is doubled. We are listener supported. And again, just looking at how the station is growing and you see the gift of what happens when you listen to Relevant Radio. We just heard that wonderful caller with Father Simon, but on a daily basis. It's a roadmap of how we integrate our faith into our life, how to navigate the difficult issues of our day. And Father Rocky was talking about, too, this direct line you can see for people who listen to Relevant Radio more, their prayer life, they increase their prayer life, they increase their relationship with Christ. And that is our mission, to bring Christ to the world through the media. But we can only do it through you, through the help of the Holy Spirit, Our Lady, 1-877-291-0123, Relevant Radio app, or at the Relevant Radio.com website. It's quick. And again, that goal is $3 million. Give hope, give Jesus. And because it's multiplied right now, this partnership hour, your gift is doubled dollar for dollar. And that is significant.
Absolutely. Get your donation doubled right now by getting a hold of us on the app, relevantradio.com, or 877-291-0123. 47 gifts to go, and we break the record for this hour of Father Simon Says. Get a hold of us right now. Get your gift doubled. Let's see if this sounds familiar to you, Father Simon fans. This is a comment from Cindy in Illinois talking about our very own Father Richard Simon. I appreciate your wit, your self-deprecating humor, your abundance of little Catholic history lessons, your Greek root words, and your love of all things Jewish. You're such a joy to listen to. That is Cindy in Illinois. If you agree with Cindy, if you're a fan of Father Simon, if you love Father Simon, show him some love back right now at 877-291-0123 or Brooke on the app or at relevantradio.com. And there is the salt shaker there.
That's right. And again, new stations popping up because of you. So you are having a direct impact. Seattle, Baltimore, Jacksonville. I was really excited when Youngstown, the Youngstown, Ohio market went on 107.5 because I'm actually in the Youngstown diocese. A lot of Polish listeners there. So dzień dobry to you. And we also, I just saw, had a $100 gift from an anonymous giver in Youngstown, a first time giver. God bless you. And again, it's multiplied because this is a partnership hour. So that means everything you give is doubled. And we want to reach that record. What a gift it would be to hit that record-breaking number by the end of this hour. And now we're talking 2 minutes or less. 1-877-291-0123, Relevant Radio, or the Relevant Radio app.
And we have new listeners in Hawaii as well. We've had a station in Maui for a long time in Kihei. But we have a Honolulu station on the air now, and we've got an anonymous donor of $100. And Nick might have to help me out with this. Is it Kamoala? Kamoala, Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness, Neil. I have no idea how to pronounce it. I'm not going to try to butcher it.
Well, you know, yesterday was the Feast of St. Damien of Molokai.
There
so
you
I was
go.
Thinking about all of our Hawaiian listeners and what a gift of faith. You think of one saint and how he multiplied the gifts, the souls, the Holy Spirit there. And that's the same mission that we're on here. 1-877-291-0123, Relevant Radio app, or at relevantradio.com. Thank you and God bless you. Give hope is the theme of this pledge drive. Our goal is $3 million by tomorrow. We are in the home stretch. We need you and we thank you.